We've talked about three things. If you're truly ready for Christmas, it means, like Simeon, you're going to be surrendered. You're going to be spirit-filled. You're going to be sensitive to God's commands. But there's a fourth thing. To be truly ready for Christmas, you need to be saved. That's how you know you're truly ready for Christmas, when you're saved. Welcome to the weekly podcast of Independent Methodist Church in Macon, Mississippi. It is our hope that this message will encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus Christ. Our title this morning is, Are You Ready? Well, it's Christmas Eve. And tomorrow we'll be waking up celebrating the birth of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. Are you ready? Are you ready for Christmas? You know, we spend 364 days a year waiting on that day. And then it comes, slips up on us in a hurry, it comes and goes, and then it's gone. And we start looking for the next one. In spite of the fact that it seems to keep coming quicker every year as we get older. Somebody said one time that, why is it that Christmas comes around faster each year as you get another year older? And the fellow said, well, you think about it, when you're five, a year is 20% of your life. When you get 50, it's only 2% of your life. So that's the reason it seems like it comes faster. But in spite of the fact that it seems to come quicker every year, people procrastinate getting ready for Christmas. We had a little mission project with the girls from Piper Springs yesterday, and we had to finish that up, and so realized we didn't have the crayons that we needed to finish up the packets that we were doing. So I had to go to Walmart. Bless me. I don't know whether any of y'all did any shopping yesterday, but it's like ants. People doing those last minute buys. I was meeting a guy and obviously two sour teenage kids that they had been drug out of bed yesterday morning. They were coming out as I was going in, and this is what the dad said. Guys, we're going to have to sneak this in the garage so your mom won't see it. Wait until the last minute. So many people do that. I saw another young couple in Walmart yesterday. The man was obviously irritated, had a little toddler in the seat of the buggy and had a buggy half full of toys. And I heard him sternly tell that toddler, now don't you spit up on anything. Everybody's tensions run high. And so, is that what Christmas has come to? Procrastination and aggravation? So many times when you go in the stores, it all comes to a head. And so that's what I saw yesterday. Some of you might have seen the same thing. A recent study was done with 2,000 American adults, and they asked them to talk about their holiday shopping routine. Would you guess what percent of people wait till the last minute? 51% wait till the last minute to buy gifts for Christmas. Out of that 51%, 39% of them say that they've purchased a gift on Christmas Day even. Waiting to the last minute. And what would you guess would be the three stores that people most likely, those that wait to the last minute, what are the three stores that you can think of? Not just generic types of stores. 40% got their gift at the grocery store. Around 30% from the drugstore, Walgreens or something like that. And around 30% from the liquor store. Those are the three top on the list of those that wait to the last minute. And so is that what Christmas has become? Procrastination and aggravation. What about you? Have you gotten your shopping done, or you still have some more things to do? Nobody wants to admit. I want to submit to you this morning, there's more about being ready for Christmas than having the gifts wrapped. There's more about getting ready for Christmas than having the tree up and having the turkey and dressing ready. And so this morning we're going to look in Luke 2. We're going to look at a man named Simeon. Simeon had been eagerly awaiting, and he was waiting for the Savior's birth. He was ready for Christmas. And there's some lessons I think we can learn from Simeon out of God's Word this morning. It should be evident in our life if we would be truly ready for Christmas. So we're going to read Luke 2. We're going to start in verse 25. Luke 2 and verse 25. God's Word says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.'" Let's pray. Lord, as we learn about what it looks like to be truly ready for Christmas this morning, help us to glean some truths from your word in these next few minutes. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Simeon had spent his entire life waiting on the Savior, waiting on the Messiah. And Scripture tells us that it had been revealed to him that he would not die until he saw Christ. Wouldn't that be neat if we knew when we were going to die and we knew that something had to take place before that time? God had told him and revealed to him that he would not die until he saw Jesus. Simeon, you're not going to die until the Savior comes on the scene and you get to lay eyes on him. And so, Simeon, armed with that knowledge that he's going to live to see Jesus, he's anxiously watching, he's anxiously waiting. And we don't know how old Simeon was at this time, but I can imagine if he were advanced in years, he had to be thinking, "Well, I'm getting close to the end of my natural life. One of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to keep on living for a lot longer, or Jesus is going to be born soon," because he knew that he wouldn't die until he saw the Savior. The Spirit had revealed that to him. Either way, he was ready. He was ready to meet Jesus face to face. And I have a question for us this morning. Are we ready to meet Jesus face to face? Are we ready for the appearance of the Savior? I want to suggest to you this morning that until you're ready to see Jesus face to face, you're not truly ready for Christmas. This man Simeon was ready. And there are four characteristics I want us to see this morning. In order to be truly ready for Christmas, I think these need to be evident in our lives as well. The first thing I want you to know about Simeon was he was surrendered. All of them start with the letter S this morning. He was surrendered. In verse 25 there. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout." Now that word devout, according to the dictionary, means having or showing a deep religious commitment. And also it means totally committed to a cause or belief. Simeon was surrendered. He was devout. He was ready to meet the Savior. If we would be men and women who would answer yes to the question, "Are you ready?" then we would be surrendered to the Lord. Our lives should be marked by surrender. Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2, listen to what that says. "Therefore I urge you, brothers," Paul writing this, "therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Paul says there, We need to offer our bodies in full surrender as living sacrifices. He wrote to the Galatians, he was speaking to the Galatians in Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul says, "I have surrendered to Christ. I'm not living, it's him living in me." That's full surrender. And Jesus, in Luke 9 and verse 23, was talking about surrender. He said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Those verses we read give us a picture of what it looks like to be surrendered to the Lord. Unless you're surrendered, you're not ready for Christmas. You've heard the story about the pig and the chicken, right? Pig and the chicken are walking down the road and the chicken says to the pig, "Hey pig, I think we need to open a restaurant." Pig says, "Great, but what are we going to call it?" And the chicken says, "How about ham and eggs?" And the pig thought a minute and he said, "I don't know about that." Chicken said, "Why not?" Pig said, "Well, I'm going to be committed, but you're just going to be involved." You see, the pig has to give his life for his friends to make that happen. He has to be fully surrendered for that restaurant to make it. But the chicken's just involved, just laying eggs. What about you? When you think about your level of surrender to the Lord this morning, how would you assess yourself? Are you committed or just involved? It's a big difference there. When you sing, we sing that hymn, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I surrender all, I surrender all." Are you telling the truth when you sing those words to the Lord? It all depends on your level of surrender. And in order to be ready for Christmas, we would be completely surrendered to him. The second thing I think we need to see about Simeon, not only was he surrendered, he was spirit-filled. Look at verse 25 again. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." The Holy Spirit was upon him. He was spirit-filled. And once we become a Christian by faith in Jesus, the Bible says the Holy Spirit moves in. We think about, talked about a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. And she sang this praise to the Lord. We're told in Scripture that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit in the womb. And we see what he did. Zechariah, his father, later on in verse 67 of Luke 1, says his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And we think about people in the Old Testament who were filled with the Spirit. Joseph, it says, was filled with the Spirit. Those that built the tabernacle in Exodus were filled with the Spirit. Joshua was filled with the Spirit. You see, when we're filled with the Spirit, we do things that we wouldn't be able to do in our own strength. And if we would be ready for Christmas, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be Spirit-filled. Ephesians 1 and verse 13 and 14 says, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Each of us, when we come to Christ as Savior and Lord, is given the same measure of Holy Spirit. And then it's up to us to decide how much room we want to give in our hearts. Do we want to let him have the whole thing? Or just a little piece of it? How spirit-filled is your heart this morning? 10%? 25? 50? Maybe 95? Maybe you're almost 100% committed, but there's one little dark room in your heart you've got locked away. And you won't let the Lord have that peace. You're holding on to it. He's calling you to let it go, to be spirit-filled, to be filled with the Spirit. You and I are not ready for Christmas until and unless we're filled with the Spirit. Listen to Romans 8, verses 13 and 14. "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. God is calling you to let Him have it all. And surrender and to be completely filled with the Spirit this morning. But there's a third thing I think we need to be looking at and seeing about Simeon's life and comparing our life to. If we would be truly ready for Christmas, not only should we be surrendered, not only should we be Spirit-filled, we should be sensitive to God's commands. Simeon was sensitive to God's commands. The very name of the man Simeon indicates he was sensitive. The name Simeon means to hear or to listen. All throughout Scripture, time and time and time again, we read those words, "He who has an ear, let him hear." In other words, be listening, be sensitive to what God is telling you. Be listening, be watching. Simeon was watching and waiting, listening. Look again there at verses 26 and following. It said it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. That's because he was listening. Holy Spirit revealed it to him. That he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And then verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. He was listening to the Spirit's leading. And then turn on. When the parents brought the child Jesus to him to do what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised," that indicates he'd been listening to what God had promised. "You may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." That means he's watching. "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon was listening and he was watching. His very name means to listen, to hear. He was living up to his name. He was moved by the Spirit and he responded. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 27, speaking of people listening to his voice, John 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." So my question to you this morning is, are you sensitive to what God is telling you? Are you sensitive to what God is showing you this morning? Are you sensitive to where God is leading you this morning? If we would be truly ready for Christmas, we need to be sensitive to God's commands. We've talked about three things. If you're truly ready for Christmas, it means, like Simeon, you're going to be surrendered. You're going to be Spirit-filled. You're going to be sensitive to God's commands. But there's a fourth thing. To be truly ready for Christmas, you need to be saved. That's how you know you're truly ready for Christmas, when you're saved. Verse 25 again, we talked about that, about him on verse 25. It says that there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous. Simeon was righteous. Now the definition of righteous means morally right or justifiable, virtuous. But you say, well, but he was a sinful man just like you or I am. That's right. But listen to Romans 3, verses 9 through 18. Paul writing to the Romans, "What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Simeon was called righteous not because of righteous acts that he had done. It's because he believed in God. He believed God's promise to send a Savior. And he was waiting anxiously, watching anxiously for him. Righteousness is the perfect holiness of Christ that's applied to our hearts when we come to Him by faith. The atoning work that He did on the cross and our willingness to accept that free gift, that gift of love, like no one else could ever give. Titus 3, verses 5 through 7 says, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Are you saved? Are you ready for Christmas this morning? I found a little poem that I think sums it all up as I conclude this morning. I want you to listen to this poem. And the poem is titled, Ready for Christmas, written by a lady named Alice Mortensen. Ready for Christmas, she said with a sigh, as she gave a last touch to the gifts piled so high. She wearily sat for a moment and read, till soon, very soon, she was nodding her head. Then quietly spoke a small voice in her dream. Ready for Christmas? What do you mean? I seem to remember that only last week you wouldn't acknowledge your friend on the street. Ready for Christmas while holding a grudge? Perhaps you had better let God be the judge. Why, how can the Lord Jesus come and abide in a heart that is selfish and still filled with pride? Ready for Christmas when only today a beggar came by and you turned him away? Without even a smile to show that you cared. So little he asked, and yet nothing you shared. Ready for Christmas? You've worked, it is true, but just doing things that you wanted to do. Ready for Christmas? Your circle's too small. Why, you're not ready for Christmas at all. She awoke with a start and a cry of despair. There's so little time, and I've still to prepare. Oh, Father, forgive me. I see what you mean. To be ready means more than a house that's swept clean. Yes, more than the giving of gifts and a tree. It's the heart that's swept clean that God's wanting to see. A heart free from bitterness, envy, and sin. Ready for Christmas means ready for Him. Are you ready for Him this morning? Are you ready for Christmas? In order to be truly ready, we need to be surrendered to the Lord. We need to be Spirit-filled. We need to be sensitive to His commands, and we need to be saved. Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a wooden cross for you and for me to pay our sin debt, so that in Him we might be saved and be brought into heaven at the end of our lives. Have you done that? Are you truly ready for Christmas? If not, Jesus is calling you. Even now, He's calling someone's heart. Maybe for the first time, or calling to draw you closer to Him than you've been before. Calling you to get ready for Christmas. If you've not made things right with Him, He's calling you today. And the altar is always open as we get ready to stand and sing here in just a minute. Let's pray. Lord, see to it that Your Holy Spirit won't let us leave this day, leave this place, without knowing for sure that we are ready for Christmas and ready to see You face to face. Lord, there may be someone who listens online later who doesn't know You, Lord, and I pray for them right now that they might come to know You as Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, there's maybe someone here who's felt a little distant from You this morning, Lord, and it's my prayer that You draw them back home. Help them to lay things at Your feet that they know that are there that shouldn't be. Help them to unlock that last little dark room in their heart that they're holding on to and surrender it all to You. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.